Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Spring is here. We love California, don't we? I hope you're burning fat. I hope you're exercising. I hope you're out of the holiday blues, if that's what you did have. Today's show, show 195. We've got 195 hours on the website. That's an encyclopedia. I hope you guys are getting my point. I hope you're spreading the word. My finding as a doctor, over four different educations, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of patients, experiences with people in all forms of life and death and in between, is if they could only understand it, they would heal. They could just get it. And the classic example of this is about today's show. Today we're going to get into sciatica and disc herniations, very, very common causes of low back pain. My finding is always is the solutions are easy. My finding is that most people don't solve it. They just mask it. Whether you're looking for the herb to fix it, or the inversion table to fix it, or the surgery to fix it, or the chiropractic adjustment to fix it, you're missing the point. Thus the point of the show. If you could just understand the principles, you could contour an approach to yourself. And if you couldn't, at least you could pay somebody to do so. In other words, when you seek care, health care, whether it's an orthopedic surgeon, a physical therapist, a chiropractor, a massage therapist, or a nutritionist, you would have a foundation in understanding how to invest your money, time, and energy. And this is where we fail all too often. Thus, my never-ending rant about get the education. Sciatica. You've got sciatica. Somebody's told you you've got a disc herniation. 5 times out of 10, those people don't even know what sciatica means. So let's get to the website. As always, let's take a look at the pictures. The pictures tell you much. The website, straighttalk.cc. If you don't see this show on the website, get to the website. Get a computer. Get hip. Get going. I don't care if you're 70 or 80 or 90. It's not too late. The minute you think it's too late, you're dead. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, unless you're driving, and this would be hazardous to your health. Picture number one. Now, there's picture number one. That is the sciatic nerve. It says it right there in bold-faced print, sciatic nerve. That nerve is going to run down your leg. When you have sciatica, for an infinite number of reasons. See, so here's my first blockbuster point. If somebody tells you you have sciatica, all you know by that statement is there's a compression of that sciatic nerve. And what is the cause of your compression of that sciatic nerve? The causes are in the hundreds. There are dozens and dozens of causes of that compression. The composite summary, the composite sketch, the portfolio of your health will determine why your sciatic nerve is being compressed. This is where you've got to understand the difference between cause and diagnosis. Diagnosis is somebody tells you what you already know with a big word. You've got a pain in your head, someone says you've got a headache. It's a bad pain in the head, someone tells you you've got a migraine. That's what you call medicine. That's where medicine misses. You have a compression of the sciatic nerve and somebody tells you you have sciatica. And what do you say? You run around Los Angeles asking people, do you have a cure for sciatica? Can you? I implore you to appreciate the innocence and naivete of that query, that statement. The woman with pain down the back of her leg that's been told she has sciatica. And late, we're going to get to disc herniations later. But that person that's been told, man or woman, that you have sciatica, that aching pain in your low back down your leg, and runs around asking people, do you have a cure, a fix for sciatica? Question again, can you appreciate how naive that statement is? Whose sciatica are we talking about? Are we talking about your sciatica because you're 200 pounds overweight? Are we talking about your sciatica because you're a construction worker and you're 30 pounds overweight and you're not flexible? Are we talking about your sciatica because the shape of your buttocks is such that it will jam and compress that sciatic nerve and you can't isolate that in a stretch, if you even stretched, if you even knew how to stretch? Which sciatica is it? Now, summing all of this up, and thus my show continues, I want to give you a sense of how to apply very foundational solutions to these types of problems. But you get the point of the show then. You understand why you listen to this show. You understand why this show is very, very different. I'm not on air telling you to get an inversion table that I'm selling for your sciatica. I'm not on air telling you to get an injection into your spine called prolotherapy, and yet I would support both of those therapies. And yet I promise you after this show, someone within 24 hours is going to knock me off my chair. It never fails, because they're going to come in and go, do you have a cure for my sciatica? And that will happen. It always happens. There is no end to how indelibly, nefariously, devilishly imprinted the American public has been with this ridiculous notion of how you take something like sciatica and look for a general cookbook cure, whether it's an herb or an inversion table. And this is what my war, and it is a war, stands for. This is what Medici Enterprises stands for, getting people out of that myopia, because you will take it to your grave, and I do mean this very, very, very literally. You will shorten your life, and you will suffer. Isn't that a great little note? Don't I sound optimistic? I'm very optimistic, because in the human spirit is the capacity to learn and grow. So let's go. Sciatic nerve, picture number one. Now let's take a couple of other looks here. Let's get to picture number, did I forget a few pictures? No, that's not possible. Picture number two. Take a look at picture number two. Look at that picture. That's a picture of you from the back. We have cut out your gluteal muscles, your gluteus maximus, your gluteus medius, your gluteus minimus. These are the deep muscles of the buttocks. These are the muscles that probably you've never really had pressed into. These are the muscles that probably you never really stretch. These are the muscles that run deep. These are the core muscles. Core. Core means if you're sitting in the audience today and you have what someone has told you is sciatica or disc herniations, you're up for surgery, you're doing all sorts of injections into the piriformis, this, that, the other thing. It's not working. It's worked a little bit, but it's not fixing it. Get on to a deeper perspective. One critical part of your cure, not the cure I give you. I don't cure anything. Doctors don't cure anything. Doctors share relationships to facilitate people's journeys into themselves so they can find their own cure for themselves. Up till now, the United States Constitution grants us that inalienable right. The world constitution still hasn't taken that right away. For you to go on your inner journey to fixing what ails you. Doctors are facilitators. If you marginalize them, if they marginalize themselves into being quick fix artists, you get quick fix solutions, which take you to first, at best second base, and you spin for the rest of your life. That is a waste of your precious life. And over the years, that is a waste of your time, energy, and money. So understand, when we say sciatica, it simply is a word, a euphemism, to define compression of the sciatic nerve. One of the things that will compress the sciatic nerve is muscles. The piriformis muscle will stretch, will compress that sciatic nerve if the piriformis muscle is too tight. Is your piriformis muscle too tight? That's not the question. The question is, are you stretching the core muscles successfully? Are you stretching the core muscles successfully? I said successfully. I didn't say as a chore, as a detour to your busy life. Are you just going through the motions each day for 10 or 15 minutes because your doctor told you to? I didn't say that. I asked you, are you bringing pleasure to your body by releasing deep tissues that surround the sciatic nerve? That is very different than stretching. That is called stretching effectively. Take a look at picture number 10. Picture number 10. Young lady there modeling. You know what she's stretching? That piriformis muscle. Because she may have sciatica. And that sciatica may be about compression of the sciatic nerve by the piriformis muscle. And so she's stretching her piriformis. Your physical therapist will tell you to do this. Your chiropractor may tell you to do this. Your massage therapist, your yoga therapist, everyone will tell you to do this. You have sciatica. You've had sciatica for 10 years, 15 years. It's on and off. It's getting worse. It's increasing in frequency. So what you're going to do is stretch your piriformis, because the picture shows you. And, of course, that makes sense. That's reasonable. And so you're going to do that. You're going to stretch that piriformis muscle. Of course you are. And here's my point. That is very short-sighted. That is a superficial notion. It is almost ridiculous. Even if it helps you, it's still a ridiculous statement. And yet, relative to the population, it's an advanced statement. Relative to the population, people on the inside edge of healing would stretch the piriformis muscle. And yet I say it's a naive statement. And the reason it's naive, and I hope many of you are going to appreciate this, that it is naive at this moment. It's naive because fundamentally, you can't stretch one muscle. You have to stretch your body from head to toe. On top of which, you need to understand what constitutes a successful stretch. What does a successful stretch mean? It doesn't mean you go into the motions. Is that woman stretching her piriformis muscles successfully? Well, we don't know that. We don't know that unless two things occur. Number one, I hope you're on this ahead of me. I hope those of you who have listened to 195 shows know what a successful stretch means. It means that woman has to get a release. Release. A stretch is not a release. An effective stretch is a release. There is a huge, huge difference between the two. An effective stretch is when the muscle lengthens. How do you know the muscle lengthens? You know the muscle lengthens because you feel the circulation in the muscle. Now, some people call that prana. Some people call it chi. If you're stretching, if you've stretched your sciatica, if you've stretched your piriformis, if you've done this stretch, If you've attempted to help yourself because your physical therapist or your chiropractor told you to stretch your buttocks. If they've termed your sciatica piriformis syndrome, right? That's the orthopedic jargon that we give to this issue. We call it, you suffer from piriformis syndrome. Pay me $500 to tell you, after deep orthopedic analysis, that you suffer and that the cause of your chronic low back pain is termed sciatica and it's caused by piriformis syndrome. And you walk out of the office, and what does that do for you? Well, let's bump that up a bit. We're going to give you a picture book with a bunch of stretches, and you're going to go home and do them. The first thing, the first upgrade here, what you're going to understand is if you're in these variety of poses, maybe that's not the way you stretch your piriformis. Maybe you found your piriformis to stretch another way. I guarantee you it is not redundant in any way, shape, or form because I watch you stretch. I watch you. And I watch you miss the point. The point is not to stretch. The point is, does the tissue release? Do you feel circulation consistently into the buttocks when you stretch? On top of which, second myth, you're not going to get away with stretching one muscle. You've got to get away, you've got to stretch the entire body. You've got to learn the art of stretch. Now, why do you have to invest your time, your money, and your energy in stretching the whole body when the pain is only in your buttocks? When it's down the leg, when there's a piriformis muscle, when we've showed you a picture of the piriformis compressing the sciatic nerve, it makes sense that if you press that nerve, you're going to have pain down your leg. Why should you spend time, money, and energy stretching your whole body? Because that is the way it is. Everything's connected to everything. Your muscles are all talking to each other, wrapped in a band of fascia, of dense connective tissue. There's no such thing as stretching one muscle without stretching the other muscle. You've got to bring the entire orgy of the musculoskeletal system, tendon included, together to release the system that we call the musculoskeletal system. So first and foremost, if you've got sciatica, you've got to get flexible. Now, these are some of the stretches you're going to go into. The piriformis stretch is one of them if it's done successfully, and if it's not, you've got to figure out why, or you've got to pay somebody to figure out why. Because ultimately, you're going to have to shift your biomechanics. Now, I know what that word means. Some of you know what shifting your alignment and your biomechanics mean, but I can tell you this. I can say this to people till they're blue in the face. Shift your alignment. Align your biomechanics, and until you have the physical experience of it, you don't know what I'm talking about. Do not delude yourself into thinking you understand what it is to shift your alignment until you've done it. You don't know what that means. Every one of these words only has a functional meaning if you have a functional experience. And without it, it may make sense. And then it's ever, ever critical you don't hallucinate yourself into thinking that because you tried to stretch your body, you've had an experience that you're not having. Thus the art of stretching. You know, it's curious to me with all the stuff on the internet that people still succumb to the basic human foible of thinking something's happening when it's not. In other words, the need to delude ourselves seems so basic a human trait. And I hope, in that we can't get out of the internet, that we can use it to create a sense of reality for ourselves, rather than ever-present threat of increasing delusion. But one of the things that I see, specific to my passion, the healing arts, is that people go through the mechanics of so much of this without having the experience. You can't be the actor simply reading your lines. Until your audience is moved, until they are out of their mind emotionally for your performance, until they are weeping, until they are screaming, until they are laughing, crying, punching walls, until you have deeply affected your audience, you're not acting. And it's the same thing with these exercises. Unless you are having a deep release of the tissue, you cannot say that I stretched my body and my sciatica did not go away. You can't say that. You have to learn to isolate a muscle. Not everybody will easily find the stretch. So I'm introducing a notion here about the stretch. You have to be able to find that stretch. You have to be able to find the stretch in another muscle. The other muscle, critical, is none other than the psoas muscle. Turn to picture number 15. Now there's your psoas. That is a whopper of a muscle. Oh, yes, the psoas. I thought the psoas muscle was for something else. You see, this is where we delude ourselves. You're not going, when you have sciatica, you're not going to decompress that sciatic nerve unless you get the core muscles effectively stretched, consistently, easily. Unless you know that experience in your body, you're not going to resolve it. There's your cure. Don't take the shortcut, because there is no shortcut. Now, what are we talking about with the psoas muscle? Well, let's take a look, now that we've identified the muscle, let's take a look at picture 14. Now, I've shown you this before. It's a famous picture. The guy on the left has an incompetent psoas muscle. That is you. Whether your belly's sticking out or it's straight, it doesn't matter. That psoas muscle is short and tight. Unless you've trained it, unless you've hit that critical point in your journey where you can feel that muscle lengthen and all the concordant shifts in your alignment. The person on the left has an incompetent psoas. That means that muscle that I just showed you, picture 13, is short and tight. That muscle, picture 15, is short and tight. And as it gets short and tight, your body distorts. Your bones distort. Your bones begin to look like, well, let's get down to picture 19. Let's go to picture 19. There you are, on the left. A bunch of misaligned blocks. Your body, lower heater, middle heater, upper heater, lower jaw, middle jaw, upper jaw, the lower part of your body, the mid part of your body, the upper part of your body, is a mass of disconnected, misaligned blocks. And yes, you do the stretching, you do the yoga, you do the Pilates, you do the exercises, and you stand up straight. No, you're not doing what I'm suggesting. Unless you're having the experience that as you stretch a piriformis, as you stretch a psoas muscle, as you stretch the hamstring, as you stretch the adductor, as you stretch the quadratus lumborum, as you stretch your diaphragm with a true breath, unless your body is compelled to elegantly shift from the person on the left, picture 19, to the person on the right, and you feel the shift in your body, you feel your weight shift to your heels. Those of you with sciatica doing these stretches, when you're done, do you feel that shift into your heels? Do you feel your body stand up naturally? If you do, keep going, because that's where your cure is. If you don't and you're spinning, 714-850-1007. If you're trapped in sciatic chaos, if you're trapped in disc herniation chaos, low back pain, neck pain, chaos, there's ways that you can learn to move your body to get out of that trap. And they are dependent upon tasks. Tasks and moments where you experience a new you in the process. One critical new you is when you stretch out a psoas, when you correctly stretch your piriformis, and the blocks, the building blocks, begin to line up, and you feel your alignment shift into your heels. This is one critical aspect. It's a critical dynamic. Well, take a look at picture. Let's get a better angle on this. going to work this today. Going to work you out with this. Look at picture number 7. Now there. There's a pelvis. Looks like a male pelvis to me. They're more narrow. The yellow stuff is the nerve. Look at that. The piriformis muscle, the sciatic notch. You can see it. Perfect picture. There it is in living color, picture 7. Piriformis muscle, sciatic notch. That nerve is going through that muscle. You're looking at an anterior view, an oblique anterior view of the, I'll call it, male pelvis. Look at all those bones there. You've got all the vertebra. You've got the discs in between the vertebra. You've got those big flares there. That's the pelvis. It's the ilium of the pelvis. You've got the pubic bone. You've got the sacrum. The tip of the sacrum is the coccyx. You've got the discs in between the vertebra. Nice little picture. You've got your hip socket there, where the femur, head of the femur, fits into the acetabulum of the pelvis. All of those bones move in relationship to each other. Each bone you're looking at moves in relationship to each other. Each bone, in each second of each day, of each life, for the rest of your life, moves in relationship to each other. And when they're not moving correctly, the stress will go to the muscular system. I just said something so deep. What I just said is so deep. And admittedly, eluding most of the people listening. That's okay. That's why you listen to this show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you've got the time, pull to the side and listen harder. Later on, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Each of those bones moves in relationship to each other. If you can move them. And if you can't, you need to be trained to learn to do that. That is your task for health, for radiant health, to make sciatica and disc herniations go away. Why? Because some doctor fixed you? No, because you fixed you. Because you took it on. Because you decided you didn't want to be sick anymore. Because you decided you didn't want to live in it. Because you've had a surgery and it hasn't worked. Because you've spent a load of dough doing lots of different isolated therapies. And although they have helped you a little, performed by good therapists who cared about you, you're still spinning. Why? Because you're not understanding this statement. So you must understand the statement. All of those bones, you must have the physical experience of moving in your pelvis. And if you don't, you're not going to get to the cure. Those bones, as they lock up, put abnormal torque or strain on the piriformis, which will put abnormal strain on the sciatic nerve moving through the piriformis. And the psoas muscle, the importance of the psoas muscle is it owns, it dictates, it monopolizes, it is the president of how your pelvis articulates with your sacrum, with your fifth lumbar vertebra, with your coccyx, with your femur into the acetabulum of the pelvis. The psoas muscle owns you, unless you own it. It manipulates you, it dominates you, it dictates your reality. And it's so subversive and insidious because you don't know it. You don't feel it. It prevents you from feeling you. And you may not have felt you in so many years now, you forgot what you feel like. That's the reality of it. You forgot what it was to feel alive down there. You forgot what it was like to feel tension-free down there. You forgot what it was like to get up and run across a football field effortlessly. And we call that aging, and we stuff all sorts of short, quick-fix solutions into our face. We go to all sorts of quick-fix solutions because we're busy. We're busy. Money's tight. We don't have time. And yet over a year, 2 years, 5 years, a decade, you've spent a fortune unnecessarily, when you might have just boogered down and got to cure. Cures exist. But they are hard to come by, not because you're not willing, although that plays a role, because we've given you an easy way out, and that's the delusion of thinking you've got the quick fix. You don't. I have been doing this for over 20 years. I have been impeccably educated. I was valedictorian of my chiropractic class in 1994. I was told for sciatica, you crack a back. I did that. I became notorious for doing that. I saw it help people. I rarely, if ever, saw it cure people. You see? I didn't see it work. I've never seen herbs work to cure back pain. I've seen herbs help. I've seen chiropractic adjustments help. But you see, the reality is what you're left with over a year, 2 years, 5 years, is a lot of money spent, and people on a bad day still have a bad day. Their back goes out, and they are at the mercy of their therapists. And this is not what is exciting about medicine. Medicine is exciting when people cure. When they say, I will never have sciatica again, I will never suffer from a herniated disc again, because I know what causes it, and I am in control of fixing it. And yet that's not where the attention goes. Trust me when I say this. It is not where the intention goes. Because it's not generally a cost-effective approach. Medicine pretends to educate with a couple of pamphlets. Teachers, those of you that really teach, you understand what it takes to teach. Teaching is an arduous, painstaking process that, if you're right for it, is a joy, but nonetheless, you put your time in. And this is what we don't want to do. So let's take a look at this piriformis. Let's take a look at this psoas. Picture number five. Picture number five. You see that? Pelvic motion, anterior tilt, neutral tilt, posterior tilt. Look at all the ways that pelvis goes. The variety in the way the pelvis will rotate determines your sciatica. Look at picture six. Anterior and posterior pelvic tilt. Look at the difference in the way that pelvis sits. That pelvis is owned by the psoas muscle. Now look at picture number seven once again. Think of picture number five and picture number six. Think of that sciatic nerve in relationship to the different ways the pelvis will rotate. Look at this one. Take a look at this. Take a look at picture 11. Picture 11. Look at that sacrum. Corkscrew. Unilevel sacral base. Look at how that sacrum, picture 11 now. Look at how that sacrum is twisted to the side. You may be walking around like that. The sacrum will rotate. The sacrum and the pelvis will rotate in three planes. Turn to picture number 8. Turn to picture 8. Here's 3D. And 3D is not a good enough of a representation of reality. But there's three planes. Picture number 8. Transverse plane, the frontal plane, and the sagittal plane. Your sacrum, your pelvis, your psoas, your piriformis, your sciatic nerve are being rotated in multiple planes all the time. And if you're just locked into the wrong plane, you're going to have abnormal alignment. And that's going to tick off, annoy that sciatic nerve, because the muscles will go into a tension pattern and ultimately pull the nerve out of place. So we can forget all of this and just focus on the compression of the piriformis into the sciatic nerve, but you can see really in the big picture how short-sighted that is. We can also say, look at picture 11 again. We're going to take your bones and crack you chiropractically. We're going to try to massage you therapeutically. We're going to try to stretch you therapeutically. And we're going to straighten out that sacrum. But you can understand why your sacrum is twisted is specific to you. How much of your psyche is in that? How much of your blood chemistry is in that? Is there a scar that hasn't been dug out? figuring out cause is like piecing together a jigsaw puzzle. And you've got to invest enough time to get the principles and invest enough time so at least when you're doing the therapies on your own, you know when you're doing them right. You have to be given indices through which you can measure gain on your own. The job of the doctor is to facilitate that, is to imprint you with what it takes to make that shift. So that's psoas muscle, and I'm not going to get into it today. Just like that woman stretching the piriformis, you can stretch the psoas muscle. Now, I've done other shows on it. Check the website for all the details. But those stretches for the psoas muscle, as variable as they are, only mean one thing. You've got to feel the release, and you've got to get the shift. And if you don't know what release feels like, you can stretch that psoas, you can stretch that piriformis forever and ever. It will do you no good. So, axial rotation, transverse rotation, rotation of the sagittal plane, anterior pelvic tilt, posterior pelvic tilt. Looking at that picture, looking at picture 7, don't blow it up, just scroll to it. There's all these variations of how you can shift in that bony alignment and pull on that sciatic nerve. Why you're doing that, meaning why you're misaligned, comes down to applying some combination of four principles. Those principles being, you've got to learn to effectively stretch it. You've got to learn to clean the dirty blood out of those muscles or they won't let go. You've got to let go of that psyche, ladies, with sciatica, especially ladies. The tensions, the psychological tensions you hold around that vaginal canal are massive. They are as fundamental to your low back pain as any concern regarding your low back pain. Every bit of your psycho-emotional spiritual journey as it relates to that vaginal canal, and you understand what I mean, comes up when you've got chronic low back pain. And how are we simply to go into the stretch, the exercise, the adjustment, without giving respect to the deep psycho-emotional aspect of that pain? So you see, your code is variable. Thus, your education has to become deep. Thus, the purpose of the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. I hope most of you are listening with the pictures, straighttalk.cc. If you're lost in low back pain hell, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. No quick fixes here. Get on the journey. All right. Look at this. Picture 17. Look at the attention. Releasing tension in the psoas. It's a big deal. Look at picture number 18. Whole books on it. The Psoas Book by Liz Koch. 30th anniversary. It's 30 years old, the psoas. Who in orthopedics before they suggested the surgery for your disc or your sciatica or your degenerative disc disease talk to you about the psoas muscle? Look at Rolf, who gave her life, picture 24. Reestablishing the natural alignment and structural integration of the human body for vitality and being. Yes, you've been Rolfed. You've been Rolfed by a Rolfer. It didn't seem to cut it. The question is, were you released by that Rolfer? Did you feel the shift in conjunction with that Rolfing experience? Can you duplicate that shift on your own, autonomously, without paying the Rolfer? So you've been Rolfed, or you've been Rolfed, or you've been Rolfed. Have you been truly taught the rudiments of shifting your own biomechanics? Rolfing, Helleric, Aston Patton, Feldenkrais. This is all revolving. Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu. all revolving around this notion of, can you alter in a cost-effective way your biomechanics? I mean, is that cool? I mean, this stuff is so second nature to me after 24 years, but I can still get psyched about it. And yet, for whatever reason, I just don't understand it. The number of people that call in regularly, does he have a fix for my sciatica? The show, the concepts, don't let them go over your head. Yeah, they're deep, so work with them. Look, I'm not pointing a finger. I went to chiropractic school. They taught me to crack backs to fix sciatica. I had teachers come in and yell at me for doing anything but pure adjustments. And then the liberal mode threw some interferential current on and some ultrasound and a few other things. Man, I'm sorry. That's missing it by a mile. 7,000 hours of education? That 7,000 hours is about understanding the concepts I give to you today. Take it in. Okay. Discs. Disc herniations. The disc. Very different than sciatica. Very different concern. Very different therapy. No! Did I fool you? Did you fall into the trap? Did you think we were going to come from a different place with disc herniations? I'm going to say something very different. Now, this is what we do for sciatica. Now, this is what we do for discs. We write a book on sciatica. We write a book on discs. We write a book on facet syndrome. We write a book on spinal canal stenosis. We write a book on lateral recess stenosis. We write a book on degenerative disc disease. We write a book on bony arthritic spurs. Then we cross out arthritic and put osteophyte, spondylolisthesis, spondylolysis. We study every single orthopedic term mankind has ever known, translated into ancient Chinese and back into ancient Greek, and then end with a little staccato of ancient Egyptian. We throw a million and one words at you, and we make you think everything is different. It's not. Your fundamentals will cure 80% of everything. That is what you have to understand. Do not let the bean counters run reality. Do not let the accountants run reality. Let the creative, cohesive, gut-level experience dictate your choices each and every day in regard to your health, and for that matter, everything else. And you will be delivered. If you want to know what Jesus was saying, I'm going to do it. That's what Jesus was saying to me. Maybe he was saying something different to you, but that's what he was saying to me. Go to the internal journey for your answers. Learn to be good at that. And this is what it comes down to. We can marginalize sciatica into a million and one cookie cutter cookbook claims with a billion and one little facts, all of which I've learned, mind you. And then you come up with the great big goose egg. You come up with a population of people spinning around in circles for disc herniations, low back pain, and all these things I just mentioned. All right, let's get to disc herniations. What's different about them? The little that is. You've got to simply just understand what the disc is. Take a look at the disc. Picture number 30. Take a look at the disc. The disc in between the vertebra. You've got a bunch of vertebra. I forget the number. 28, 29, 30. It's not important. 7 cervical, 12 thoracic, 5 lumbar. Okay? The space in between the vertebra, those bones, is the disc. The disc provides cushioning. The disc is why you can bend your spine. Lots of things can happen to the disc. Look at that picture. You can have a bulging disc. You can have a herniated disc. You can have a thinning disc. You can have a thinning disc, which is disc degeneration with spur formation. There it is. It's a beautiful picture. Right there is about 90% of your orthopedic diagnosis. Yes, you're sitting there. You've got an L5-S1, L4-L5, L1-L2 disc herniation. You're headed for surgery. You're scared. You know that surgery can go south and things can get worse. or you might have to have a surgery, but you don't know because your friend had one and his failed. What should you do? Understand what I'm talking about. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. If you're lost in disc herniation, osteophytic, arthritic, hell, sciatica, and you want to get an education on how you can fix you, you call that number. Now let's pull that disc out and look at it. Let's pull the disc out and look at it. I want you to go to picture number 33. Go to picture number 33. There's the disc pulled out. It looks like a hockey puck. It's got an outer layer called the annulus fibrosus and an inner layer called the nucleus pulposus. That pulposus is loaded with gooey stuff. It's like hard jelly. So you've got the soft pulposus and the very tough fibrous, thus fibrosis, annulus fibrosus. Now look at picture 34. Go to the next page. Picture 34. That annulus fibrosus is like fish twine, right? Out there fishing, right? Out in the ocean, fishing. Fishing for swordfish, marlin. Fishing for shark. Throw that hook in with the meat, and it's on twine. That twine's got a test. That marlin is, I don't know, 200 pounds, 300 pounds, and it's strong. It's in heat, and you hook it. You're the old man in the sea. That marlin will pull your boat across the Pacific. Well, that line there doesn't break because it's got a test. That's your annulus fibrosis. Your annulus fibrosis is a bunch of fish twine wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped around the nucleus pulposus. The pulposus is jello, jelly, gooey, gummy. And the fibrosis is fish twine. When the fibrosis begins to tear, when little pieces tear, okay, you start to get a disc bulge. Okay? You start to get a disc bulge. Go to picture number 31. And this, you know, these words, degeneration, prolapse, extrusion, sequestration, they're a little vague. Orthopedics has always been vague with these. No one ever explains these correctly. Really, you just have to understand the pictures. Forget the words. Annoying over the years how no one can get their act together on what you call these, and someone says, of course, they know. But these words, prolapse, extrusion, sequestration, just understand this. In the early stages, the fibrosis will break and you'll get the little bulge. What they call degeneration is a little bulge. Keeping in mind, the cure is not a lot different than the cure for sciatica. That's when the light's got to go on in your head. But you've got to understand it first. If I don't teach you what we mean by disc herniation, then you won't really understand why you're doing what you've got to do to cure. That degeneration, the fibrosis just breaks a little and you get a little bulge. Then prolapse. What it's calling prolapse, it simply means that that bulge is bigger. That's it. They can stuff it if they want to talk nuances after that. You've broken through a lot of that annulus fibrosis, and the bulge is bigger. The extrusion is when now the fibrosis is completely broken open and the goo is starting to come out. And the sequestration is when the goo starts separating and it starts falling down your spinal canal. Those are different stages. You know what? Here's the truth. I've known people with nothing more than degeneration or small prolapse. I've known people like that with agony. And I've known people with extrusions and no pain. I've known people with sequestrations and no pain. But the minute you see on an MRI that bulge, in your mind, you're dead. And that's not true. The minute you see that, you're convinced that's it, because that can't go away. And the bottom line is your body can compensate you for that in a million ways. But you have to be capable of learning how to manipulate your body so that you'll be able to get out of pain. You've got to get healthy and then apply focal therapy to your low back, to your whole body, to bring yourself out of pain. Now, we can do the same thing, the same mistake we make with sciatica. We can say that thing's bulging, and we have to go in there and suck out some of that pulposus and sew up the fibrosis and put a spacer, maybe, if you're lucky, in between the two bones, and you'll be fine. Only to find in many, many cases it doesn't work. Only to find in many, many cases in 2 years you're in the same kind of pain again for different reasons. What do you think happens when they suck out all that pulposus? When they suck out all the pulposus, go to picture number 30, it starts degenerating the disc. So disc herniations lead to disc degenerations. Disc degenerations lead to instability in the segment, and you start growing osteophytes, bone spurs. Your low back becomes a mess. And then we go from one problem to the next, and everybody's got a different focal therapy, and nobody hits the fundamentals. Is that you? Do you have pain down your leg, losing sleep, considering surgery? Are you looking for solutions? They're there if you can understand that fundamentally what has to happen is the same thing that has to happen with sciatica. You've got to lengthen enough tissue correctly so that you can decompress the spinal segments. Let's look at one of the quick fixes that's advertised everywhere. Look at picture number 38, spinal decompression for disc herniations. Spinal decompression for disc herniations. Now look at that. There is an overweight woman with a bad low back. They're pulling her head and they're pulling her pelvis in a rather basic spinal decompression machine. These machines can go up to $200,000. I know lots of chiropractors. You can buy one on the market for nothing. I know tons of chiropractors that buy these, can't make a living using them, and then sell them for nothing. Bad day for those guys. Or they lease them and then, well, forget it. Look at picture number 37. That's a Cox table. It's another good quick fix therapy. Don't get me wrong. These are not bad quick fix therapies, especially the Cox table. When that chiropractor, whoever that is bending her low back down and letting it up and bending it down, what they're trying to do is push the pulposus back into place. If you flex a little and extend a little and flex a little and extend a little and flex a little and extend a little by stabilizing the thoracic spine, you just might push that pulposus, the gooey part of the center of the disc, back into place and decompress the inflamed nerve. It's not a bad quick fix therapy. There, of course, is spinal decompression, not a bad quick fix therapy. Nor is a shot of steroids a bad quick fix therapy. Nor is an epidural a bad quick fix therapy. Trigger point therapy, prolotherapy, they're all good therapies. But long term, they don't work. Yeah, you've got an exception or two, and we'll give those people a lot of media attention. But 9 times out of 10, these quick fix therapies over time do not produce what you want. But what's the concept here? You have to get to the point where you can decompress your bony alignment. You can pull those bones apart. Now, what's controlling that? You've got 4 variables. You've got to effectively stretch. Effectively. Because if you effectively stretch the psoas, if you effectively stretch those muscles, you will start to become capable of effectively stretching the deep muscles of the spine, the muscles on the vertebra that hold the bony spaces, the interspaces, in compression will stretch, and you can decompress your own back. This is what Pilates and the ideal of it was trying to do. Pilates understood it. Not 90% of his Pilates therapists. This is what yoga is trying to do. But how do you know what's what? Again, I take you back to that initial statement. When you can pull those bones apart and get the feeling of release, then you're moving the ball. The second thing is, you have got definitely to work out the adhesions in the low back, because that disc, those discs are trapped in muscles, and those muscles are trapped in toxic blood. And you have to drain out that blood. That's what herbalism's about. Herbs are solvents, so you can get to the bony malocclusion. Herbs are solvents. Turmeric, garlic, ginger, cayenne, cat's claw, white willow bark, boswellan, all of these things, curcumin, all of these things function, aloe, as ways to clean the blood so you can get to that blood-filled, tight, scarred musculature. And at some point, then your stretches get deeper, upon which, if you can afford manipulative therapy, someone needs to go in and cross a fiber out the granulations of acid around those joints. And how do you know if you're getting your money's worth? Because your body will tell you. You will start to feel release in the process. So when we talk about spinal decompression, for who? For the guy that's 100 pounds overweight? For the guy that eats and drinks coffee and donuts all day? Good luck with spinal decompression. And again, we're back to the same thing. No cookie cutter solutions, only fundamental concepts. And that's about all I can do in an hour. If you're lost in this terrible spin, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week. In 2 weeks, I'm bringing on Dr. Randolph Aguilera, my world's famous and best dentist, and we're going to start the first of a four-part series. We're going to break down the teeth and get as much as you ever want to know about teeth, root canals, titanium implants, so on and so forth, and a few more goodies that I'm going to give to you. I've known Aguilera now, Dr. A, for a good, 15, 16 years. Been down many, many wonderful roads with him. He's my vote for the world's best dentist, and I'm going to give us all an opportunity to get those questions answered about the teeth and everything you ever wanted to know. We'll see you next week. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.